Texas cardiologist charged in $89 million Medicare fraud exposes healthcare's broken incentives. And number 10,022, takeaways by Plaquemium AI Hyde. And number 9,650, Texas cardiologist Jason Finkelstein, 53, faces federal charges for billing insurers $89 million for cardiovascular screenings he allegedly never properly reviewed between 2019 and late 2025. Finkelstein allegedly rubber-stamped cardiac screening results for college student-athletes as normal without review, and in at least one instance a patient whose results were falsely certified as normal later died from undetected heart problems. The case exemplifies a profitable business model that targets low-risk demographics with high-volume, low-scrutiny testing where reimbursement is generous but medical necessity is debatable. A Texas cardiologist faces federal charges for billing insurers $89 million for cardiovascular screenings he never properly reviewed, part of a broader federal crackdown that signals a fundamental shift in how Washington views healthcare fraud. But the real story isn't the individual arrest. It's what this case reveals about the underlying economics of American healthcare, where the incentive structures have become so distorted that fraudulent billing can scale to nine figures before detection. Jason Finkelstein, 53, allegedly rubber-stamped cardiac screening results for college student-athletes as normal without reviewing them, exploiting parental fears of sudden cardiac arrest to generate unnecessary test volume between 2019 and late 2025, according to the Justice Department. In one instance, a patient whose results were falsely certified as normal later died after significant heart problems went undetected. The case, among several to be highlighted at a June 23 press conference by federal prosecutors, represents what the Trump administration frames as record results in a nationwide healthcare fraud sweep. The doctor's alleged conduct, which ignored a textbook diagnosis of preventable cardiac death, is heinous, said Dr. Mehmet Oz, head of the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, in a statement. Healthcare fraud doesn't just steal money, it can steal lives. Finkelstein pleaded not guilty during a brief court appearance in Florida on Monday. Details on alleged co-conspirators at a Florida-based operation were not disclosed in the charging documents. The economics of medical fraud, why now, why this scale? The Finkelstein indictment arrives as the Trump administration escalates enforcement rhetoric around healthcare fraud, framing it as both a fiscal and patient safety imperative. The $89 million figure, while substantial, likely represents only billed amounts. Actual collections, patient harm quantification, and the operational structure of the alleged scheme remain under seal or were not disclosed in initial filings. What makes this case instructive is the business model itself: high-volume, low-scrutiny testing for a demographic, college athletes, with minimal pre-existing conditions and maximum anxiety. Cardiac screening for young athletes sits in a profitable gray zone where medical necessity is debatable, reimbursement is generous, and false negatives carry catastrophic but statistically rare consequences. Finkelstein allegedly industrialized this, according to prosecutors, by decoupling test administration from test interpretation, a cost structure that maximizes margin but severs clinical accountability. The timing of the crackdown matters. Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, now under Oz's leadership, has pivoted from pandemic-era payment flexibility to aggressive fraud recovery. Medicare Advantage overpayments, improper billing in telehealth, and durable medical equipment fraud have drawn heightened scrutiny in 2026. The Finkelstein case fits a pattern: large billings, geographically dispersed patients, and minimal documentation to justify medical necessity. The compliance market response, tailwinds for medical billing oversight, healthcare fraud enforcement historically drives secondary market opportunities in compliance technology, third-party billing audits, and risk management consulting. For private equity, the calculus is straightforward: heightened regulatory risk increases enterprise willingness to pay for protective infrastructure. QMS Medical Allied Services, an Indian integrated healthcare solutions provider that migrated to the NSE mainboard on June 18, offers a relevant parallel. The company, which reported consolidated revenues of 172.9 crore, approximately $20.7 million, and EBITDA of 25.9 crore, $3.1 million, in fiscal 2026, targets 500 crore, $59.8 million, in revenue by fiscal 2029. Chairman and Managing Director Mahesh Makija noted the company's pivot toward patient-focused engagement rather than product-focused models, a strategic shift that mirrors growing U.S. regulatory emphasis on outcomes over volume. QMS expects its services business, which includes patient programs, disease management, and healthcare engagement solutions, to double in fiscal 2027 and surpass product revenues by fiscal 2028. This growth trajectory, if realized, would represent a compounded annual growth rate exceeding 42% over 3 years. The company's thesis rests on integrated care coordination, precisely the capability U.S. payers increasingly demand to prevent fraud and waste. The U.S. market for healthcare compliance software, estimated at $3.2 billion in 2024, has grown consistently as enforcement actions multiply. Fraud detection algorithms, prior authorization automation, and real-time claims adjudication represent high-margin SaaS opportunities with sticky enterprise contracts. Federal prosecution announcements function as demand shocks for these verticals. Patent arbitrage and access, a parallel healthcare distortion. A seemingly unrelated development underscores a different economic distortion in healthcare. Biggsimco Pharmaceuticals of Bangladesh has reverse-engineered Vertex Pharmaceuticals' cystic fibrosis drug Trikafta, selling a generic version called Trico for a fraction of Vertex's $346,000 annual U.S. price. Vertex has generated $49 billion in revenue from Trikafta since its 2019 launch but has not registered the drug in many lower-income countries, effectively seeding those markets to avoid pricing pressure in high-value geographies. Biggsimco exploited a loophole in global patent law to manufacture Trico, serving patients like Yosua Lottering, an 18-year-old South African who traveled to Dhaka to purchase a year's supply. The drug's efficacy is well documented. The pricing divergence, however, reveals how pharmaceutical companies segment markets to preserve margin in wealthy countries. Vertex's strategy of non-registration in lower-income markets protects against parallel importation and reference pricing but creates opportunity for generic manufacturers in jurisdictions with favorable intellectual property regimes. The cystic fibrosis case and the Finkelstein fraud case share a common thread. Healthcare pricing opacity creates arbitrage opportunities, whether through fraudulent billing or geographic price discrimination. Both exploit information asymmetries. One is criminal, the other is legal but ethically contentious. Medicare Advantage, the next fraud frontier. Finkelstein's alleged scheme targeted traditional fee-for-service billing, but the larger exposure lies in Medicare Advantage, where capitated payments and diagnosis-based risk adjustment create different fraud vectors. Upcoding patient acuity to inflate risk scores has become a multi-billion-dollar problem, with the Department of Health and Human Services Office of Inspector General estimating $12 billion in improper Medicare Advantage payments in 2023 alone. Private equity-backed Medicare Advantage roll-ups face intensifying scrutiny. The business model depends on margin expansion through improved coding capture, but regulators increasingly view aggressive documentation improvement as fraudulent upcoding. The line between legitimate revenue cycle optimization and fraud prosecution has narrowed considerably in 2026, raising existential questions for portfolio companies dependent on Medicare revenue. Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services proposed a 2027 rate cut of 2.84% for Medicare Advantage plans in early 2026, citing overpayment concerns. Industry lobbying secured a reduction in the proposed cut, but the directional signal is clear. The government views Medicare Advantage as a source of excess cost, not savings. Fraud prosecutions provide political cover for payment reductions, creating a feedback loop where enforcement actions justify rate pressure. The shell company architecture, why fraud scales. The headline reference to Ferraris and shell companies in the broader Medicare fraud announcement suggests operational sophistication beyond simple billing errors. Healthcare fraud at scale typically requires multi-entity structures to obscure ownership, disperse liability, and complicate asset recovery. Medical billing companies, management service organizations, and equipment suppliers layered across jurisdictions create investigative friction. The asset dissipation problem is real. By the time federal prosecutors unseal indictments, proceeds have often moved offshore or converted to hard assets, luxury vehicles, real estate, cryptocurrency. The Ferrari reference is prosecutorial signaling, connecting extravagant consumption to victim harm. Whether such assets existed in the Finkelstein case or the reference pertains to co-defendants was not specified in available materials. For institutional investors, the shell company risk extends beyond fraud to basic corporate governance. Healthcare services businesses with opaque ownership structures, related party transactions, or billing through third-party intermediaries carry elevated diligence risk. Private equity due diligence increasingly includes forensic billing analysis and historical claims review, particularly for targets with concentrated payer exposure or above benchmark reimbursement rates. The Plaquemines view the Finkelstein prosecution as a leading indicator, not an outlier. Federal healthcare fraud enforcement operates in cycles. Scandal drives legislative response, which funds investigation, which produces prosecutions, which create industry compliance spend, which reduces fraud, which reduces political urgency, which defunds enforcement, which allows fraud to rebuild. We are entering a prosecution-heavy phase, which historically lasts 18 to 30 months before pivoting to settlement-driven resolution. The investment implication is bifurcated. Healthcare services companies with legacy billing practices, high Medicare/Medicaid exposure, and thin compliance infrastructure face existential risk. The cost to remediate historical billing issues, combined with potential False Claims Act liability, can exceed enterprise value for subscale operators. Consolidation will accelerate, but acquirers will demand steep discounts for regulatory risk, compressing exit multiples for private equity-backed platforms. Conversely, compliance infrastructure businesses will see multiple expansion. Healthcare IT companies offering claims integrity, risk adjustment validation, and audit defense software should command premium valuations as the addressable market expands and customer urgency intensifies. The most attractive targets are those with embedded positions in payer workflows, where compliance checks occur pre-adjudication rather than post-payment. The second-order effect is on healthcare delivery model innovation. Value-based care, capitated risk arrangements, and direct primary care models reduce fee-for-service fraud vectors but introduce new ones: risk score manipulation, patient steering, undertreatment. Regulatory attention will follow the money, and as alternative payment models scale, enforcement will adapt. The compliance market opportunity is durable precisely because payment model complexity guarantees perennial fraud risk. Institutional capital should favor healthcare businesses with transparent pricing, direct-to-consumer revenue models, or B2B contracts with defined deliverables. Opacity is no longer a feature, it is a liability. The bottom line: fraud risk is underpriced. Healthcare fraud prosecutions function as industry stress tests, revealing which business models depend on regulatory forbearance versus genuine value creation. The $89 million Finkelstein case, while individually significant, matters most as a signal of enforcement prioritization. Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services under OZ is not merely recovering improper payments, it is reshaping acceptable commercial behavior in healthcare. For private equity, the calculus shifts. Healthcare services assets must now embed compliance as a core competency, not a back-office function. Portfolio companies should model downside scenarios assuming 20% to 30% billing disallowances on historical Medicare claims and budget accordingly for outside counsel, statistical sampling audits, and potential settlement reserves. The firms that will generate alpha in healthcare over the next 36 months are those that can acquire distressed assets from sellers facing regulatory pressure, restructure billing operations, and re-rate the asset as compliance risk recedes. This requires operational capability, not just capital. The Finkelstein case is a buying opportunity, but only for investors with the expertise to separate fraudulent business models from legitimate ones operating in a high-scrutiny environment. Most will get that distinction wrong.